of you who are seated here with us today, you realize and know that we've been going through the book of Jude, found in the New Testament section of the Bibles. And we know that Jude is a short book. It's only one chapter long, but it's quite interesting. For myself, I know it has been quite encouraging for me, and I pray that it has been the same for all of you. As we go through the scriptures, we are certainly challenged to make sure that as those of us who have called upon the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that it's not just about striving to be good, because we know that once we have surrendered our life to Christ, that we have become born-again believers. We have become brand-new creations in Christ. And so, therefore, it is simply about living a surrendered life, allowing Christ to work and live through us. Trust me, the people around you on a daily basis are truly loved by Jesus. Amen. Even the ones who we may not seem to get along with from time to time or may not get along with us, they are still loved by God. That's the truth. That's the reality. And so I believe that without any doubts that our brother Jude is encouraging us from time to time of reminding us of our responsibility, that we all are going to face difficult situations in our life. We're going to be challenged. Our faith is going to be challenged. What we believe will be challenged. But how do we respond in the midst of all of those things? In fact, in the church, it happens today just like it happened then. If you remember when we've gone through the first few verses of this book of Jude, we know that Jude puts it this way. He said there have been some folks who have crept in within the church and who has begun to spread messages that were not true orthodox messages of the Christian faith. In fact, some would say, well, you're saved, and so this is all about grace. So that means that you can live or do whatever you want to do, and it doesn't matter any longer. In fact, for most scholars, they believe that the greatest threat during this time in which Jude was writing was the fact that there's a belief system called Gnosticism, and which means that there's a huge difference between your spiritual life and the life you live in your physical man. Or physical self, I should say. And in other words, because they're so different, you can do whatever you want to do in the flesh, and it does not in any way impact what you do, your soul or your spirit man. And that's the furthest from the truth. Jude wasn't the only one that was dealing with these issues. Peter speaks of it. Paul later, he speaks of these false teachings and doctrines and things of that nature. In fact, James himself makes mention of the fact that your belief system in your life should always line up. So Jude is basically basing all of his teaching as well on the same basis as all of the other apostles who were teaching the same thing. You are a brand new creation in Christ. You're a brand new person because of what Jesus has done on your behalf. And so Jude is saying, listen, it is important for you to guard, to contend for the faith. Amen. That's significantly important for us to remember. So this morning as we go to Jude, we went through Jude verse 1, and then also we went through to verse 4. So this morning we're going to be in Jude chapter, 5. Amen. All right, let me see. We're going to look at verses 5 through 9. And it says, now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, this is key, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling. He has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet, in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael contended with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume, to pronounce a blasphemous judgment. But instead he said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain, to Balaam's error and Paris in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feast, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your compassion that you show toward us each and every moment of our lives. It is our prayer this morning, Lord, that as we dive into the text this morning, as we search the scriptures, that the scriptures will search our hearts. Father, we ask, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that you will lead us and guide us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, for you are our King, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' holy and righteous name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen, amen. This morning, I still would like to just stay on the topic of contending for the faith. As we've seen, that Jude is the half-brother, of course, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the brother of James. We've seen these types of things as we have gone on. We saw how we've had two major themes of the book of James, ultimately, and that is the fact that James wants to expose the false teaching of these false teachers that have crept within the church. But he wants to remind the believers, the readers of his epistle, as well as us who read along with those readers as well, to make sure that we remain strong in our faith. And not only remain strong in our faith, but that we defend the faith, that we contend for the faith. In other words, when people come along and try to share some crazy, outlandish things about what they believe and things of nature, that we stand strong in the midst of it all, that we don't just get carried away by any wind of doctrine, as James has told us in his epistle as well. But instead, that we know who Jesus is, we know how to identify who Jesus is, that he is the Savior of the world. But notice that Jude makes mention in verse 5 about who the one is who delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. If I stand here and I ask you who delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, most of you, of course, would say, well, God, of course, Yahweh. But notice that Jude makes mention and says that Jesus delivered the people out of the bondage and slavery of Egypt. Why? Why would Jude make a point? And I know that in some translations it'll say the Lord. But we know that through earlier manuscripts that it is said that Jesus is the one, because they are one. If you look through the Old Testament, you'll see many times that he is described as the angel of the Lord. It's important for us to remember this and understand what this truly means, that Jesus is God, Yahweh, in flesh. That's important and significant, because if Jesus was not that, then guess what? He would not be able to save us from all of our sin, to pay the ultimate price on the cross of Calvary. You see, Jude understands this, and Jude is encouraging his readers, as well as us today, about how significant all of that is. So a few things I want us to understand about today's text that we have read, and if you can bring that up for us. the next slide? Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Jude presents three Old Testament examples. I've said this to you all before about the fact that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. You ever heard me say that? The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Why is Jude going back to the Old Testament? Because, number one, his readers would already have known much of what the Old Testament was about. They would understand about the stories, the things about Moses and Isaiah and of Israel, because they're part of this. This is what they have learned and were taught. So Jude goes back and takes them to help them to understand some of the Old Testament examples. Why? Because Jude had already told the people that these men who have come in and slipped into the church to create some issues and wreak havoc on the church and the doctrines and teachings of God's word, that they are going to face judgment. So he actually literally goes all the way back to the Old Testament to remind them about these things happening to people back then who did not stand up and contend for the faith. So the first one that Jude points out is the Israelites in the wilderness. The Israelites in the wilderness. One of the things that's important for us to recognize is that when God delivered the children of Israel from out of Egypt in their bondage and slavery, when they went on and moved forward, God had already told them that he had promised them that they would come to the promised land. When God brings them to the edge of the promised land, guess what? He commands Moses. He says, listen, I want you to send spies into the land. I want you to bring back a report. And I believe that God was doing this because what God ultimately wanted to do was strengthen the people. He wanted them to understand that you have just seen what I have done previous to you being in this place. I have delivered you from Pharaoh and Egypt, and I've done it in a miraculous way. Moses stood, parted the Red Sea, the people walked on dry land and came into this place in the wilderness. And then God is ready to move them into the promised land. So what does Moses do? Well, he obeys God. He does what God tells him to do. He sends out 12 spies, each one representing the tribes of Israel. But here's the problem. When they went into this land, the promised land, they began to see these peoples called the people of the Anakim. These are giants. Unusually tall. Everything about them. In fact, one of them said that they make us look like grasshoppers. This is the threat for them. Only two of these spies actually proclaimed that they could have victory over this land and overtake this land. And that was Joshua and Caleb. These were two men of faith. The rest of them came back with a bad report. It's no way we're going to take over this land. We'll be demolished. We can't overcome these people. It's impossible for us. We can just forget it. They're fearful. They'll destroy us. We'll die, and we'll never make it. And better yet, it was probably better for us to just simply die in Egypt. God ultimately is saying, okay, so if that's what you want to do, then guess what? Then you'll just wander in this wilderness for 40 years until this generation literally dies off. And the only people that will make it in will be the next generation plus Caleb and Joshua, because Caleb and Joshua had faith. It was about them trusting God. The same way in our own lives, when things may seem impossible, guess what? We know that God has done miraculous things in all of our lives. And if you're thinking about just watching people raised from the dead and things of that nature, I'm talking about salvation in itself is the greatest miracle. The fact that God has exchanged your life for the life of his son Jesus, who paid the ultimate price on the cross of Calvary so that we could have a reconciled relationship with our Heavenly Father, a relationship that was once severed because of sin in all of our lives, that in itself is a miracle. And we've seen, even within this church, and when I used to serve at Shepherdsville Baptist Church, we watched people who have been delivered from sicknesses and had tumors and things of that nature when we have prayed. We've seen God do miraculous things in our own lives and even in the lives of people. So God can do all things. Nothing is impossible to God. But guess what? Just like Jude mentioned, he said, listen, he delivered them from Egypt. But the ones who had disbelief, the ones that were doubting God, guess what? God said, I'll just let you die in this wilderness. because you have failed to believe in who I am, to trust me. So what Jude was telling me is, listen, there was judgment. Why was there judgment? Because of their unbelief. They didn't trust God, who had already told them that I'm going to deliver you. And when I deliver you, I'm going to take you into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a prosperous land. And God said, I promise you that land. But they still rejected him. Then all of a sudden, guess what? Jude gives us another example. He talks about the angels who rebelled. This is actually Jude thinking of the moment, and here's what's significant about this, is because he already knows that his readers are going to think back where their mind is actually going to go back. He takes them back to Genesis chapter 6, where we read in our Bible that the sons, that when men began to multiply on the earth, that the sons of God, who are angelic beings, they're divine beings, when they began to look and see that the women, the human women were beautiful, and all of a sudden they rebelled against God and decided that they wanted to somehow come down to earth, leave their abode, which is the spiritual realm, and come down to earth and cohabit with these human women. And then these human women gave birth to what is known as the Nephilim, giants in the earth, who ultimately wreaked havoc all over the earth. Now, some of this, the truth of this comes from extra-biblical texts like the book of Enoch as well. It gives a context for that particular event that took place in history. And so the reality of it is that they defied, those angelic beings defied God, they rebelled against God, and one of those things that they did was try to destroy humanity. Even the sons of God began to teach humanity about weaponry and using metalwork and things of that nature so that humanity can automatically begin to destroy themselves. But guess what? God judged them as well. And when he judged them, he put them in outer darkness and things of that nature until the day comes, which is the day of the Lord. You see, my brothers and sisters, automatically one day, God is going to cast all of those who choose to reject him. And ultimately, guess what? He's going to give them what they want. For those of us who want to spend all of eternity with our Heavenly Father for eternity, guess what? That's what he's going to give us, because we're going to choose that. And for those of us who are here today and you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you've chosen eternity with our Heavenly Father. So guess what you will receive? Eternity with our Heavenly Father. But for those who know the reality of who Jesus is and yet still reject him and say, I don't want to have anything to do with God, then God will give them what they want. Complete and eternal separation from him. That's the second death. See, we all are going to die physically. We all know that. But we still have a choice while we are in this world to choose eternal salvation, to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. You see, that's life that God has given to each of us who have made that decision on our own. And no one can make that decision for you but you. The third example, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. All of these examples are examples of God's judgment. And Jude is saying, listen, this judgment was on all of these false teachers and things that were coming and creeping to the church as well. And it was done long time ago. And then he takes them back to these examples. And the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, think about it. You know, when the judgment came, God came to Abraham with the other angels that were with him. And then he went into the city. And, of course, God shares this information with Abraham. Abraham begins to cry out to God and ask God, listen, surely, you know, you're God, you're a righteous judge and things of that nature. And listen, surely you won't destroy this whole place if there's 50 righteous people. And God said, if there's 50 righteous people, nope. And of course, Abraham, oh, let me just ask you one more thing. And he kept on going down. All of a sudden got down to like 10 people and then 5 people. And then all of a sudden God said, I won't destroy it if there's 5 people. Now listen to this, my brothers and sisters. Isn't it a shame that there wasn't even 5 righteous people in this land? Jude says it's because of sexual immorality. But if you go to the book of Ezekiel talks about how there were oppressive people. that they had, they prospered and things of that nature, but they refused to help the poor and the needy. There was a lot of other issues that Sodom and Gomorrah had, and God couldn't stand it any longer. The reason why he came and he shared with Abraham as well is the fact that their sin had finally made it up to him. And he began to say, let me make sure and to see what is going on. And he sent the angels in. And when the angels went into town and they began to talk to Lot, Abraham's nephew, guess what happened? The men of the city came and said, bring those men that we saw. So that literally the text means that we can rape them. So much so that Lot himself said, don't do this. Lot understood the righteousness and faithfulness of God. He said, don't do that. I'll even give you my daughters, which is also considered sexual immorality as well. God has already made up his mind that he was bringing judgment. And the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and also the surrounding cities were completely destroyed. And God had mercy on Lot and sent him away and his daughters as well. You see, my brothers and sisters, Jude is making reference to all of these things because he's saying, listen, those who choose wickedness above all things, those who choose to rebel against God above all things, those who choose to reject the salvation that only comes through God Almighty will eventually face judgment. Because God is a holy God. He's a righteous God, a faithful God, a God who loves, watch this, loves humanity. So much so that he's provided eternal salvation. But it's the choice of humanity to choose that eternal salvation through his son Jesus Christ. And yet, can you believe it? That people still reject Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So what is our role? I think I try to say it or express it each week. It's not just to come and sit in the pews. It's not just to come and feed off the word on our own and be concerned about ourselves. What God ultimately is concerned with for us is that we share the message of the gospel with everyone we know. Your family. The people around you on a daily basis. They need to know. Now, I know how difficult it can be when you're sharing the gospel with people and people just look at you funny. Or they may say some offensive things. I've had it done to me before. But you know what? They're not offending you. The problem is that they have an issue with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And every time we share the message with the people in our lives, you are planting a seed. That's what the Great Commission is all about. When Jesus left and ascended back to the Father, guess what? There was the last thing he said. Go. Go and what? Make disciples. How do we do that? We share the gospel message with them. We teach them. So what else does that mean for us? Guess what? Spending time in the Word of God. We have resources here at White Marsh Baptist Church. Sunday mornings, through those double doors, first door on the left. Children's ministry we have here to help our children to grow and to know Jesus as Savior. Listen, we can teach our kids a lot of different things. We know that, right? We can get them involved in all types of things. But as they get older, they have to build their life on a solid foundation. And Paul the Apostle calls that foundation Christ. Without Jesus, they will never be able to accomplish anything. And I can speak for me personally that I know that the day that I'm gone off of this planet and the Lord calls me home, that I know that I have done whatever I can do to share and to teach my kids to choose Jesus above all things, because they will not ever make it without him. And that's the reality for all of our children. All of our children. And Jude is saying this to his readers. He's saying, listen, you becoming a Christian, You having a life with Christ, that's the most significant thing that you will ever experience in your life. That's the best decision you will ever make in your life. You cannot do it without him. And the truth of the matter is that if you reject Christ and you try to stand before God and blame it on somebody else, that ain't going to work. Because all of us are responsible for the decisions that we make. Every last one of us. So I'm very thankful as I'm going through the book of Jude and we're taking that journey together. And I pray that outside of these four walls that you're reading through Jude and taking the time to read through the Bible and things of that nature, because we need to do that. Jesus himself said it this way. He said, man shall not live off bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Think about it. We'll do whatever it takes to feed our physical body. We'll go far to feed our physical body. But sometimes we'll have our Bible sitting right here. And by the time we crack it open, we're blowing dust off of it. God has given us his book, his word, for us to grow. You want to know who God is? Read his word. The more we read his word, the more we study his word, guess what? We begin to know him better. The questions we have, should we live? How should we treat others? Look at the life of Christ. Perfect example. To share that message with everyone around us, that's the most significant thing that we could ever do. That's the best investment we can make in other people, in our families, in our children, and things of that nature as well. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. Who in here is perfect? Don't raise your hand. None of us are perfect. We'd be deceiving ourselves if we think that we're perfect. But we serve and we belong to a perfect God who gave up everything on our behalf. Amen? Amen. Let us give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And bless his name. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for grace and mercy and love and compassion. We thank you for one another, Lord God. And we just ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that as we go through your word on a daily basis, spending just a little bit of time, Father, so that you can help us to understand who you ultimately are and what your desire is for all of us. We can look around the world around us, Lord, and we can see all of the bad things that are taking place, Lord God, but you always are able to remind us of the hope that we have in Jesus, our Savior. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all of your goodness, your grace, and mercy. And I lift up and pray for everyone in this room, Lord, everyone that can hear the sound of my voice, Lord, that you will bless them, strengthen them, encourage them, that we may all go out and share the message of the gospel with everyone we know, and do it without shame, but be encouraged, Lord God, to know that the gospel is what changes our lives. It is in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. If you all stand to your feet for a moment, amen. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, surrendered your life to him, trusted God with your life for the rest of your life, you have a wonderful opportunity to do that right now. The Bible proclaims to us that if you confess that Jesus is Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Once you surrender your life to him, you are a brand new creation because of what Jesus has accomplished through the cross of Calvary and the power of his resurrection. You're not the same. You're a brand new creation in Christ. If that's you today, will you come forward? Maybe you're looking for a church home, a place to plant your feet, to grow, to be the person that God has called you to be. White Marsh Baptist Church is a great place to begin that journey, and we would love to be a part of what God is doing in your life. You can come by way of letter, by way of Christian experience, by way of baptism. If that is you, you can come. Is there one? Is there one? Now I want to encourage all of you this week to talk to someone. Share the gospel message. Invite them to come along and fellowship with you to White Marsh Baptist Church. Bring them along. You never know. I know most of us, sometimes we think that people don't want to hear anything about it, but the truth of the matter is that we are all broken. And God is the only solution to any of our issues and any of our problems. So I want to encourage you all that sometime this week to reach out to at least one person. Invite them to come along and fellowship with you at church. We're going to take a break from Jude next week. We have the fifth Sunday fellowship, and my brother Todd will deliver the message on Sunday. So we want to keep him lifted up in prayer as well as we come along and get fed as well. We're very thankful that we have some brothers here who help along and share the gospel message, and I just love watching them grow and be a part of God's work. So, amen. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. 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 Let us give the Lord a hand clap of praise one more time and bless his name. Amen.